Welcome.
And welcome to this week's Mungle Show. I am Matt Mungle. Always appreciate you hanging out with us as we talk about what we're watching on the big screen, the little screen, everything in between. Joining me, as always, from thischicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamyob Stevens.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
I just finished After the Hunt.
Yeah, how was it?
Boring a little bit. Talky. Very talky.
That's what I heard. That's what the consensus was, that it was boring, that it was just slow and not, like, nothing happened, but I don't know.
It's just, it's too much talking for what, like the actual premise is interesting,
mm-hmm.
but it takes too much time to make its point. And then by the end of it, you're like, that's it, like that. And people warn me about that. So luckily that wasn't too bad or whatever, but mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, yeah, this is, and I just watched the end and I'm like, seriously, it just doesn't feel worth it.
Yeah,
like I'm not gonna vote for it for anything, and I can't stand the score, which is shocking because it's Trent Reznor and stuff. So I'm like,
usually that slays.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Boom.
The movie wasn't bad. Like the performances are good. And like I said, you're intrigued, but afterwards it's just kind of like, you're like, eh.
Like, what was the point?
Yeah, and it just didn't. Mm. That there is, I don't know. You're going to watch it though, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Kimberly really wants to watch it, so I will watch it just to say I watched it. But I'm not. It's not like ooh, I got to hurry up and watch this thing. You know, it's not that right now.
Yeah, I'll be really curious what you think of it, because I'm just kind of like, because if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's like in the Rottens, like both audience and critics did not like it.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about some things that people did like, because there mm-hmm. is a lot streaming right now that is getting some really good feedback. We're in here entering into award season, so you and I are watching a lot of movies, series, limited series, TV movies, all kind of cool stuff. So there is stuff out there to watch. I just feel like, and this is piggybacking off what you just said about After the Hunt, I feel like there's a lot of movies that I was either excited for or that were really hyped that have kind of fallen flat. It's like when I try to put together my top 10 movies for this year, it's going to be tough to find 10, I feel like.
Really? Well, I don't feel like I'm there yet, because there's a lot that I haven't seen yet that I feel like could be in there. So, like, you know, we just got Eternity, and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. I feel like that's very possible. Those are definitely my types of movies. You haven't seen Sorry Baby yet. You should watch Sorry Baby. I haven't seen it.
Have you not seen it? Oh, I get that one and Ojai mixed up.
No. Not. I mean, Ojai was fun.
It was fun and cute, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that, and then Rental Family I really want to see, and Wicked. So there's a lot that's creeping in there that I haven't had a chance to see yet, but I was feeling that way. Mm-hmm. After the Hunt, I knew wasn't going to be all that great. So
right. Yeah. And there was something else I feel like I just watched that I was just
I'm excited for Eternity.
Well, you like Miles Teller.
Well, the premise.
See, I can't tell if this movie, Eternity, about this girl who is kind of in limbo, she can either choose to spend eternity with the man she's been married to or her high school sweetheart who died early. Isn't that the premise?
I guess it is. Maybe. I haven't watched. I didn't know it was her high school sweetheart.
I'm just going by the synopsis. It sounds almost like a comedy, sort, almost like a Almost Heaven, Reese Witherspoon sort of a movie. Maybe. I don't know, where she's got to pick this person. And I think it's going to be kind of, because I don't think it's supposed to be super heavy and stuff, right? And it's supposed to be like
people
a comedy.
People say it's emotional. Everyone who's watched it says they've been fine.
I've heard people say that they were weeping, but for different reasons, like either, you know, somebody in their family who's passed away, or, you know, people who just, you know, maybe they're going through something in their life. But as a film, I don't know. I mean, I'll be interested. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it for sure, because I like the cast.
Yeah.
Did you like that movie with Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo, Almost Heaven?
I thought it was okay.
Was that what it was called?
That sounds right. Let me see.
Where he takes over her apartment and she's not, yeah, doesn't know she's dead.
No, I totally remember it. Doesn't she like come back to life by the end of it or something? They get together.
Maybe. Yes. They do get together, which is weird.
It's just so weird. And I feel like somehow, I feel like you're right with the name, but I could be wrong. But yeah, no, I just remember I watched that and I was really underwhelmed with it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of rabbit trails for me right now, but we should do that. I know we're in the midst of award season, but it'd be interesting to go back and revisit some of those old rom-coms that had people that we don't really consider rom-com people anymore. Right? Mark Ruffalo was kind of a rom-com guy for a little bit. Yeah.
13 but we don't really, 30, I love that.
Yeah, we don't really think about him that way anymore, or I mm-hmm. don't. He's sort of more Task and Hulk and those kind of things.
Yeah, but you're right. He was. Yeah. Rom-com.
There were some fun
just
movies
like
right
Heaven.
Then. Just like Heaven. Heaven. Yeah, Driving yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we got off on that. Oh, yeah. Talking about Eternity. So, yeah, that's one to see for sure. I am excited about Wicked 2. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, that's right. What are you saying?
Did you watch F1?
I haven't watched F1 yet. I've had the 4K sitting on my desk for over almost 2 months. And I haven't watched it yet.
Matt, oh my God.
No. And that's one of your favorite films of the year.
That's going to be in my top 10. Because we just got another Apple screeners. Mm-hmm. And I told Trevor I wish that he had watched it in theaters. I do think it is elevated there. But I might actually rewatch that with him. I was like, I might watch that one again with you because it's so good.
Yeah. And I feel I I've had it in my digital movies too with Movies Anywhere. But I feel like now that it's in a screening app, I might watch it more. But I need to pop in the 4K and really elevate it and knock it out and just do it. Because I hear it's good. I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I need
it's
to watch that.
Thingy? I didn't know F1 was in your thing.
It's in Movies Anywhere. This is kind of a little sidetrack because this is something that bothers me. I'll vent for a second. There are certain studios, and I think it is Warner Brothers, that does not play with Movies Anywhere. So if you get a digital copy with the 4K, it's either available only on the Warner's app or in Fandango at home, which used to be Vudu. That's the only place you can watch it. And I forget sometimes because I'm always in Movies Anywhere watching stuff, downloading it on the plane. I always forget to go to the Fandango one. Which I have a lot of movies in. I have all the John Wick movies in there. I've got some James Bond stuff, and I always forget that it's in there. And Apple TV syncs a lot of that, but it doesn't sync that. So Apple, I don't know what's up with Warner Brothers. They just don't want to play with everybody else. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, that's why. But I need to watch it. I do need to watch it, for sure.
You do. You need to watch that, which this is, again, we're going off because we're talking about, this is in a way of streaming whatever movies this year. Trevor and I did watch Ballerina on our way, on the plane on our way to Vegas. So we did watch Ballerina.
Yeah, because it's available on digital. It's not streaming on any apps, right? But you can rent it.
No, I think it's streaming if you have Stars or AMC. Oh. Let me double check. I think it's on one of the ones that I'm not going to get.
You and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. These rando streaming channels that nobody's going to get. Like, Stars. Who's going to go out and pay $10.99 a month for Stars?
No. Absolutely not. Yeah. Not with Disney doubling their price. I can't believe I did that.
They doubled their price?
They doubled it. It's insane. And I just went ahead and did it with the hopes that hopefully, I was like, well, I need it. But I'm really hoping that since, we get Hulu, that maybe next year when we renew that'll be Disney to absorb that. Because all that Hulu content's going to be on Disney Plus. So surely they'll hopefully give that to us.
It already is. I don't even know the last time I watched anything on Hulu. Like all the Fox stuff, ABC,
yes,
anything.
Yes, you did. You watched The Hand That, Rock the Cradle.
I watched it on Disney Plus.
Well, okay. You're right.
You know what I mean? So I'm saying that I should say the Hulu app. I haven't watched anything
through
the Hulu
app. I see what you're saying. You watch Hulu content, but you watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I should have. You're right. I should have prefaced that. But yeah, I watched. So again, if the Hulu app, the Hulu service goes away, I'm not going to miss it because everything I do is in Disney Plus, because it's with your Hulu subscription. So you're right. If they've doubled their price, hopefully they're getting to the point that they're going to do away, and they're like, here, it's all in one spot, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. I mean, to double your price, man, that's a bold move. I mean, people get pissed at Netflix if they raise it to $3 or $4.
It's insane.
Yeah. Do you watch anything on Disney Plus other than maybe Hulu stuff that you're watching in there, or Disney stuff? Do you go in and like, because there's tons of movies on Disney Plus, because they own pretty much, you know, Touchstone and DreamWorks and all that stuff's out there.
Well, I guess like the big thing, I mean, obviously recently we watched Daredevil Born Again, and then we watched Ironheart. That was like the main thing we watched this year. But I like watching the movies that they have. I do really like their collection a lot. I mean, I don't even know if Loki's coming back or The Mandalorian. Those are the other shows that I watch.
Well, I think Mandalorian's doing a movie next, aren't they?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And is the new Freakier Friday on Disney Plus now?
That's a good question. And surely
I feel like I've seen that just now recently on Disney Plus.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the new Freakier Friday. So, all right. Well, there is a lot of stuff out there to stream. And I know, you know, everybody gets frustrated with streaming content and where to find. Mm-hmm. Well, like a friend of mine that I talked to that loves horror films, and especially Halloween movies and Scream, I think she only has Netflix. And so she was really frustrated with the lack of all the classic horror films, being able to watch them anywhere, either on, like, you know, through cable, through TNT or TNN, or, you know, just anywhere other than, you know, so it's almost like they've straddled us that you almost have to get everything if you want to watch a lot of stuff. And maybe we're just spoiled because we do get everything. We do.
I'm very spoiled. I mean, I'm just at a point where I don't want to, like, not have the streaming that I'm used to having, you know, like I have the ones that I, it'd be hard to give up, like the Peacock, the Paramount, the, I mean, Hulu, which obviously when it goes Disney Plus, Netflix, so Prime. So I'm just like,
HBO Max is a big one for me.
Oh, HBO Max. Yeah. Sorry.
We watch much stuff on HBO Max because of Discovery and all their programming on there. So yeah, it's tough. I've seen even people who love the NFL are having a hard time, because if you want to watch every game, you have to have Prime. Mm-hmm. You want to watch Sunday night, you have to have Peacock. So, you know, they're a little strapped too, I think, to, you know, do all that. So I don't know. It's interesting. The evolution of watching TV and shows and where we are now compared to even 10, 15 years ago is different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not for the better. I don't think it's for the better.
And I've said this before. I know we've talked about this. I just think we have too much content too. Like there's too much, to the point where, you know, quality is sacrificed. That doesn't mean that we don't have good content. There's definitely a lot of great content in the mix of that.
Right.
But there's so much mediocre or like low quality content out there because of all these apps. And just, I mean, it's even with the movies like that were during award season. I swear, before all this streaming, like even just a couple of years ago, I don't remember having to like keep up with all these movies. Like when we were getting just like physical screeners, like I had like a stack, and like looking in the app, I'm like, I have this many movies I had to keep track of. Like this is kind of insane.
It is. And again, I think it's ease. It's like you have some movies. We were talking about some of those in the app that there's no way they're going to get nominated for anything. It's easy for them to go, here, put it in the app, than to make digital copies and spend the money to mail them all out and print. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it makes some of these smaller films be like, hey, why not? Put it out there. Who cares?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, because there is a lot out there. And it is sad, too, because even though we are just bombarded with so much, the quality is lacking. Because, you know, and I know this, you know, being on the nomination committee for limited series and limited and for TV movies, you've got all these streaming channels and all this content. And we're having a hard time coming up with eight of them that are like, oh, these are great.
Oh, I know. I was like,
So, sure. I mean, you think about the, like you said, just the bombardment of all of this stuff, all the content, and then barely being able to find five or six that are great. We should be like.
I could have done five. I could have easily picked five.
Yeah, I could have too. But what are you going to do?
We only in the nominations for the limited series right now. Then we'll do TV movie, I guess. We'll do the next step. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll go into actor and actresses and performances in each of those too. So we have to do those.
I like the way she's doing it. I like the way, honestly, this is just, being a part of this was so far one of the best ways she, like, it's very organized and it's calming the emails. There's not a Slack. We're not being bombarded. It's very, very good.
Right. Yeah. And I like you said, not trying to do every category at once, but hey, let's just knock it all out. Everybody sent in their top. She weeds it down. We pick from those tops and we're done. So yeah, right. I think we've learned, I say we as a committee, and then the people who lead up the committees have learned over the years what works and what doesn't. So, you know, it is what it is.
She's done a really good job so far. Yeah, I like being in this committee.
Yeah, me too. So we'll definitely, as we get into award season, be talking a lot about that. Speaking of awards, the Critics' Choice Documentary Awards were announced. I know we didn't do a show last week, and we were both traveling, doing things. But a couple weeks ago, the Documentary Award winners came out. Do you want to talk a little bit about those big winners before we get
The main big winner was the one that I was really happy to see, which was The Perfect Neighbor, which took home the best documentary award. Let me see. I'm going to just bring it up. But it won quite a bit.
Won it five, I think. It won five, including best documentary. And then it won some other things with editing, I think, and direction, maybe. So
yeah, and director, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, direction. And then I was really happy. I don't know if you saw, but I was really happy to see that Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders America's Sweethearts won for, what was the actual category?
They won for best sports documentary.
Yes. And I voted for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And then we gave Ken Burns the Critics' Choice Impact Award, which a lot of people don't know that Ken Burns is a real person. It's just not it's not an effect that you use when you're editing video and photos. He is a real person. So, yeah. So that was pretty cool. He's kind of like the OG, of all of that. How things look and filmed and make, and especially in the world of documentaries and photos. So, I mean, everything else, I mean, I was glad to see that. I mean, we had some ties, I think, but the Led Zeppelin, becoming Led Zeppelin, I was excited that they got best music documentary along with Sly Lives. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Short documentary for Saving Superman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
30 for 30 for best ongoing docuseries. I mean, that thing always kills. So,
and then Mr. Scorsese for best limited documentary series.
Yeah. Did you talk to the director, Geeta Ganber, for The Perfect Neighbor?
No, I was offered that. I've been so busy with other interviews and movie stuff that I was like, I just had to pass it. Did you do it?
No, I said that I would love to talk to her and then I never heard back. So I don't know I just probably didn't make the cut, or maybe they had some things change, but it'd been interesting to talk to her about that.
Oh, I know. I would have loved to. Honestly, I think if it was just, and on top of that, it was like, I was overwhelmed with the travel coming up. But I think that, it would be great talking to her, because I would have really been interested. I think one of the questions I'd really want to ask, because you saw it, right? You saw The Perfect Neighbor. Is what was her goal with the cops? Like, because I've heard some of my friends say, no, the cops were great, that they did everything. What else could they have done? And then I've heard other friends be like, the cops failed in this situation. But was that the intent, or was the intent to show, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just
interesting. I think I'm just assuming here, but just because of the documentary, all the documentary people I've ever talked to They go in with no objective, but to just, hey, here's what happens. Here's what played out. You decide. You decide if who was good and who was bad and who did what and who didn't, you know, should they have done this or should they not? So I'm thinking maybe there was an agenda there. I didn't catch an agenda. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it seemed to me like the cops didn't even like her, like the lady, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think from my perspective, what I saw, it seemed like the cops knew the lady was crazy. They didn't really like her. But they also knew that they were in a position where they probably would have reacted differently to a different kind of person in a lot of situations. That's what, you know, like, had that been a different race and different gender, like a male, if that was a male of color, that might have been a different kind of reaction to all the phone calls, even the frustrations. Like, they may not have given the time of day, or they could have been more aggressive towards them. Right. Like, I feel like they were just very gentle with her. And a lot of times that was like maybe the only thing I saw, but not necessarily like, I mean, outside of that, I don't know what else they could have done legally though.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is you don't know the history of, I mean, we get a small window. I mean, there's a lot of footage, archive footage that was just phenomenal what they used. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because when I was really younger, I worked a lot with the police department. And it was interesting to me how they would, people who had a certain history, like, oh, we got a call coming in about a disturbance here. And they're like, yeah, we're out there once a week. We know we're going to get out there. We know what we're going to find. And, you know, there was a lot of, not that they wouldn't uphold the law and go and protect somebody, but there was not the urgency of something that was either new or of somebody else. And not in a discrimination way, but just of, you know, we've been out there so many times, these people aren't going to learn, you know. And again, it was a small town. Small towns are, you know, the police forces in small towns are just insane. It is, man, it's not good.
Why did you want to work with the cops or follow them and stuff?
I mean, this was way back in the, no. I never wanted to be a cop, but it was either something we were getting credit for. I was in high school. I mean, I was really, really young. So it was like one of those like ride along sort of a thing. And we got to do some really cool stuff as we thought as kids. It was like, this is kind of fun. So not in a, hey, we want to be cops sort of a way. Even though one of my friends did turn out to be a state trooper, he just retired from the Missouri State Trooper Association as a state trooper. But yeah, anyway, that was never, I have an issue with authority, so that was never going to work for me. but it was just interesting to just see how the behind the scenes worked. And, you know, and it's like anything else, there's really good people and there's really bad people.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I know that was a kind of a rabbit trail, but yeah, I don't feel like she had, I didn't catch an agenda from the director, maybe. I don't know.
No. I think the main thing that she had said that I read was that her goal, which I do think she accomplished, was to make a documentary that was unbiased with just the archival footage. There's no interviews. There's nobody narrating. There's no, it's just like, here is the archival footage pieced together to just for the timeline. And then you make your judgment.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the goal of most documentaries. So, but anyway, I'm glad it won. I'm glad it won five at our documentary awards. And I'm also glad, we say this every year, I'm glad that the Critics' Choice does something separate for the documentaries, because there's many freaking documentaries for them to get just lost in the shuffle or only five come out somewhere. So that's really cool that we do it every year in Brooklyn. It's a live event and it's
cool. Great turnout. The show always looks good. I mean, they had it, you could watch it live on Facebook, and I caught some of it, and it looked like really great. Good energy.
Have you been to one live, like in person yet?
No, and that's actually, I do want to go. Have you been to one?
Either the first one or the second one. I was there when De Niro was there giving the award to, the Columbine guy. What's his name?
Oh, wow.
What's his name? Big dude? Famous?
Oh, my God. I'm blanking and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really cool because, you know, seeing De Niro there and then giving him the award and hearing him speak. Uh-huh. And it was a really small, and it was the same year that Free Solo won the documentary. Oh, remember, wow, the Free Solo thing? So yeah, it was fun. Mm. It was fun just hanging out in Brooklyn and doing that. And it was a really mm-hmm. small, intimate gathering. So, yeah. But I haven't been back since, but it was cool.
Cool.
So, yeah, yeah. We'll see. What else were we watching? The other big thing we wanted to talk about, because we were off, but it finally, I say finally because I feel like it dragged on like a mug, was the Golden Bachelor finale.
Yeah.
And that was the After the Rose finale that was this week, mm-hmm. 2-hour special. We've talked about this series throughout the whole process, but what did you think, and did the ending surprise you at all?
Yes, it did.
How so?
So the episode before obviously left off on a cliffhanger with Cindy, and I noticed when they showed previews, they didn't show in the previews the son's talking to anyone. So I was already nervous because you had mentioned your wife had already figured that like Mel wasn't going to end up with anyone. And I thought, I was like, oh no, they've ended on this cliffhanger, like where he's conversating with Cindy and like, maybe he really isn't going to be. And then like, I start watching the episode, Cindy has this talk, which we definitely need to talk about. And I'm thinking Kimberly was right. You were kind of thinking that too, right?
I was.
You agree with her? I was like, this is right. Like he's not going to end up with anybody. So when I'm so glad he told Peg everything mm-hmm. that happened, that needed to be said.
Yeah. He did it in a very Michael Scott sort of a way, but he did it.
He did it though. Yeah. He was honest. I don't think he like lied about it, but yeah, that is a Michael Scott way that he did it. And then, yeah, I was shocked that he was going to, like he ended up with Peg. I was like, and he's still with her. And I checked their socials, their Instagram. It seems like they've been hanging out. Like, I don't think it was for show. They looked pretty happy at the end of the final rose. I mean, I don't know how long they're going to last. I did like that he said it was a promise ring. He didn't propose to her.
Yeah. He said, well, let's kind of do some life together. Let's choose each other right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a cop out, but at the same time, we've said this before. I didn't want a proposal anyway. They don't need to get married.
I don't think Golden Bachelor should not be ending this in a freaking engagement. That's the whole thing that, like, I mean, I want to talk about this and we'll go down a rabbit hole on this one, but like, I like that he ended it with a promise ring versus an engagement.
So do you think Cindy was off base with what she was wanting?
I think that I feel for her because I don't think I stand by Mel was not a great lead. I don't think he was open. I think he was bland. I think that he wasn't giving much to these women to feel validated and feel like they were like chosen and loved. So I think Cindy could feel that. And I have all the respect for her when she said, like, I'm not going to beg a man like to be with me or anything like that, or love me. Like, I want a man to choose me. And I don't feel he was giving her that even a little bit. Like if we do a flashback in my Bachelor history, there was a lead, Rachel Lindsay. She's very popular. She was the first Black Bachelorette, and she's one of my favorites. She's such an awesome Bachelorette, but she did not choose this one that she got down to her final two. And there was Peter Krause but he gave all the validation in the world. He's like, I love you. I want to be with you, but I really only want to propose once in my life. Can we not end this in engagement? Like, can I just be with you? And then, you know, and she was adamant that she wanted to be engaged. So she had this gut-wrenching breakup and she ended up with this other guy, Brian, and now they're divorced. So, but I'm just saying in that situation, I think she should have picked Peter and mm-hmm. that was okay. With Cindy and Mel, I feel like the reason she felt that way is because Mel wasn't giving her anything, nothing to feel like she was chosen. And the cherry on top was him saying the no engagement thing. And she's like, so you're just not taking this seriously is what she's feeling in general. So that I totally understand where she's coming from. But I don't agree that it should end in an engagement. So that's where I'm like conflicting. I don't know. What do you think? I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I feel the same way because I can't fault. At first, I was kind of upset with Mel, and I think Jesse was too. I will say this about Jesse. He did not back down from Mel, and I think he called Mel out on some things at the end, going, mm-hmm. look, you know, this woman expects this, and you're not giving them anything. So, because mm-hmm. Mel was like, well, she just quit. She just said some things and then give me a chance, and then she quit. And I don't think she quit at all. I think she had been waiting for him to do something, and Lurch just didn't want to. He didn't want to. He just was, you know, just like, and sometimes it was like, is he awake? Because he would just sit there. And it'll be like, is he going to answer her question, or is he thinking about sports, or what's he doing? So he would check out. So I was really upset with that. I feel like he was kind of a douche a little bit in that conversation. But at the same time, I can't really fault Cindy because she has been with him this entire season. So it can't be the first time she's noticed that he's not really being committed. So I don't know. I think, I'm glad they ended like they did. I thought she looked stunning when she came out there at the little end thing at the final discussion. And I thought her and Mel had a good thing. And I think she said some really good things. I mean, I think she didn't let him off the hook, but at the same time, she wished him well. So,
I don't know. Jesse was right. She was class. Yeah. She was a definition of a class act or whatever
you want to call it. If she would not have left, do you think he would have chosen her over Peg?
That's the question right there.
If they were both exactly the same in their attitude, because Peg was like, I'm here. I mean, let's just do it. Let's have some fun. I love Peg. Peg's like my favorite.
I was going to say, though, like, and Trevor was sitting on the couch while, like, I was watching it, and he's like, Peg is so much better. He's like, she's way more fun.
She's a fun girl.
He also thinks she's, like, better looking. But he's like, she's just, like, way more, like, she's just not as serious. So at first I thought that because I was like, well, I don't think he would have. I actually think Mel would have picked Peg. I'm going to say that. I really do because before I think he would have gone to the fantasy suites with Cindy. But I think ultimately he would have picked Peg because there in the last episode, when we watched their day dates, if you remember the stingrays and everything, and then his time with Peg. I just think Peg has this energy that she won't allow an awkward moment. She's so like, let's just have fun. But she's also like bubbly and romantic. Like she's that fun without going in the friend zone. Her personality could easily go veer into friend zone, but she doesn't let it. It's like flirty and romantic. So she is actually perfect for Mel in a lot of ways because he's so stoic and boring. He probably loves her personality to like, I guess she can make him goofy.
Yeah. And I wonder, like you said, they're fine now. I wonder how long before Peg gets like, dude, or maybe he does. Maybe she really draws it out of him. But, you know, just watch. I could see him and Cindy just sitting at home, like just two bumps on a log, just looking at each other. I don't know. They seem to me to be the better fit, but I don't think he would have done anything. And I want to say better fit because I feel like Peg and Cindy was, I don't know any better, but Kimberly said this. She was kind of upset because she wanted Peg to be the new Golden Bachelorette. She feels could have done better than Mel. Like I think Debbie. Oh, yeah, Debbie for sure. But Peg would have been good because I feel like Peg sort of settled. I think she could do better than Mel.
I mean, she could. She absolutely could. But I do think that. And I agree with you. I think Cindy and that's why I still stand that I think Mel would have picked Peg because I think Cindy's too serious for him. She's that lover, like notebook, like she falls hard and she's like, oh, I just whatever, you know, I've fallen for you. And I like
tea and garden parties.
Yeah. I like her. Peg is my type of woman. That's who I would want to hang out with and stuff. Absolutely. And she 100% stunning.
Dude, she does, man. She looks killing
good.
It.
I don't know what it is about Peg. Once she met the Sons too, although tell me you didn't crack up when the Sons were like, he's really funny. He really opens up all this stuff. She even at one point was like, he does?
I know. It's like, well, we haven't seen that yet. And maybe because, you know, maybe he is Because they even said you got to really dig to get some emotion from him. So he might be still a little guarded. You know, he's still that lawyer football guy. But maybe. Maybe when they're on their own, he is funny.
I think he's guarded. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt since he still is with Peg and he still picked Peg. That I think that he's the type that when he's stubborn about it needs to be behind closed doors. I still don't think they should have picked him as the lead of a reality show like this. But I bet you what I'm gathering based on his sons and Peg still being with him is that I bet when the cameras are off, that's where his personality is.
Yeah,
like he probably feels more comfortable. And I will say the one thing he won't have to feel any awkwardness with being with Peg. I don't know if she would have cared, but he did really only ever like share his feelings with one woman. He was very like adamant, like, I don't want to say that to like a bunch. Like he could have, and he said this, he was like, I could have just told her what she wanted to hear, but I wasn't going to do that. I do respect that.
No, I do too. And the fact that he did in the finale that we watched did say, yeah, I love her. You know, it's like he did take his time and go through his process. He's very analytical. His sons even said that. He's a very analytical person. And once he got to where he needed to be, he was like, yes, this is who I love and who I love being with. So I wish him the best. It was just, I don't know if it was the greatest season because he was just very boring.
You have to wonder what it would have been like if it was like, do you remember Keith from Jones season?
Yeah, absolutely.
If he had those women, because Mel had some of the best women. And if you would have had a Keith in there, it would have been just that much more elevated. Or, you know, like Gary again. But like Gary had great women too. So Gary's season was already great. But
yeah,
I don't know. That was just, yes, it was a very blah season, except for the women, because Mel did not navigate it or show any personality, but ultimately I am happy he got his love story so it doesn't feel wasted. It doesn't feel like Love is Blind Denver.
Right. No, this absolutely.
This is way more satisfying. So like by the end of it, that's what was the one thing that I was like, I am really glad there was a happy ending at this because now I don't feel like my time was wasted.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Well, in the minute we have left, I was really excited about the new Bachelorette, but it doesn't even air till March, but they're halfway through filming it. Well, how are they going to keep everything under wraps until March of 2026 before this airs?
Good luck. March, I thought it'd be January. I didn't realize
it was March. We did too. Yeah, it's going to be March.
Whoa.
So I don't know what they're doing between now and then, but yeah. So it was interesting. I'm excited about this next season of The Bachelorette coming up. Are you?
Yes. I mean, again, I don't know how I'm going to feel about her, but they sure did tease drama just from that. Just like saying men are scared of her. She doesn't tolerate.
I know. And
that's what I've already heard.
Never before seen on The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think she is going to be, from what I've heard, she is not going to be the typical, like, careful bachelorette. She is going to be rough and she's going to be just, she doesn't tolerate BS is what I've heard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it. Obviously, come March, we'll be talking about that. Next week, we'll talk a lot more about what we're watching. We had to finish up some finales and some award shows. So we're going to really get into next week what we're watching, either award-worthy or worthy to stream on the big screen and the little screen. That's Susan Kamiyop-Stevens. Check her out at thischicksflix.com. Everything we do, mongolshow.com. And we'll be back with more next week.